Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations, produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public Schools radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP, with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, or streaming online from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland radio projects.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the KBPS Hour. My name is Zip, and I will be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I will be doing the song Postcard by Corey Kent. This song was released on December 29th and was produced by RCA Records label Nashville. Let's take a listen.
Well, I grew up in a small town. You were supposed to be my small town girl. We were gonna bust out, trade this gravel for traveling the world. Well, you tried me like a line and you left me lonely. Honey, come tomorrow morning, I'll be sipping wine in California, back dining in Arizona. Breeze on them Florida beaches, take a Louisiana jet boat, then on down to them Georgia peaches. I'll be making memories till we're just a memory. If you start to miss me, don't call, 'cause I'll be sipping wine in California, back dining in Arizona.
Intro of Postcard by Corey Kent, an up-and-coming country artist recently pulled into limelight due to his wildly popular cover of Wild as Her, immediately hooks you in as it fades into its signature acoustic guitar and drum loop. Unlike some artists in the genre, Kent manages to spice up the standard formula of that signature country music sound and make it his own, keeping the listener engaged for the song's 3.5-minute duration. His lyrics address the all-too-familiar feeling of losing a relationship, romantic in this case, that you thought was meant to be, and coping mechanisms that some people use to heal after a broken heart. As for Kent, he chooses to travel, visiting the locations across America that he and his ex-lover once said that they would travel to, singing about his highlights from each stop. The combination of his voice, captivating draws, his cross-country travel descriptions, and the relatable subject matter of the song result in a classic country song that draws you in from the start and keeps you entertained, leaving you yearning for just one more listen. That's all for now. My name is Zip, and I'll be back on next week's KBPS Hour.
Good morning, KBPS on PRP listeners. We have a new update about the brand new Benson High School swim team back in action in the water for the first time in 15 years or something like that. One of the awesome swimmers happens to be a KBPS student here with us, Mr. Chilahosusk. Good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing amazing, Mr. Patterson. I mean, I just got back from school, just did a little practice yesterday, and today it's another swim meet.
So tell us, what is it like being on the swim team? How does that work?
Being on the swim team is like, you get to, learn how to swim, and two, get to actually swim. It's just your every run-of-the-day kind of sports team. Everyone there is friendly. Everyone loves to be there. The coach is amazing. Mm-hmm.
Is it like I don't mean to cut you off. Is it like when you're watching swimming on the Olympics and everybody's in a lane and they're trying to race back and forth as fast as they can? Is it something like that?
Yeah, it's definitely like that.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever swam on a swim team before?
No, this is actually my first time doing it competitively. I just love the water.
You knew how to swim before you joined the swim team?
Yes, I did. I'm in scouting, so it's kind of a requirement to learn how to swim. I actually got my merit badge for it, too.
And do you, like, what I'm trying to get at is there anybody maybe on the team that doesn't know how to swim that is at the point where they're just learning how to swim?
Yeah, there was a couple of guys on the team that didn't know how to swim, but like I said, you learn how to swim pretty easily there, and they quickly got the hang of it, and I'd say they probably could become pros one day.
Now, you've had a couple of like, what we call swim meets, mm-hmm. or at least you've had one before already, right?
Two.
Had a couple, and those they're like competitions, right?
The only competition is against the clock.
Okay, so you're racing against yourself.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. I like it.
Try to beat your own time, not the opponent's.
Okay, I love that. And and other high schools are there from around
Portland? Yes. I think it was said Madison, Ivy Wells. I think they said Franklin as well.
Okay, and you're heading into a meet tonight.
Yes, I am.
And what's the time you're going to try to beat? What's your time that you are aiming to beat?
I'm going to try to get under a minute for a 50 backstroke. I mean, tonight we're doing something different. We are doing a 200 relay, which is, I think, four people do 50s. So I'm doing the 50 backstroke for the relay and also a 50 backstroke for myself.
Now, for someone who has no idea, you're kind of speaking a little bit of a foreign language to me. Is that, when you say 50 backstroke, does that mean you have to swim back and forth from end to end 50 times?
Yeah, so the lanes are usually 25 feet. So I go down 25, well, not feet, yards. I go down 25, back 25.
And you have to do that 50 times?
No, just once.
Oh, gosh.
That's why it's called a 50-yard swim, because you're swimming 50 yards.
Ah, so just one time down and back.
Yep.
I was going to say, if you had to do that 50 times, you'd be pretty tired.
Well, actually, in scouting, they got a thing called a mile swim where you swim for a mile. Mm-hmm. So it's usually just back and forth, back and forth. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to do that.
I'm hesitant to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm a little afraid to say this. I'll tell you a little secret. Mm-hmm. You want a little fun fact?
Yeah.
I do not know how to swim.
Mr. I Love Fish doesn't know how to swim, really?
This is a true story. Let me tell you. It's a funny story. When I was growing up, I was real little, I had an inner ear issue, and I had to have tubes put in the ears. If you people who know or experienced that before kind of know what that means. Mm-hmm. And when I was little, about 7 or 8 years old, I was learning how to swim at a Mount Scott Community Center in Southeast Portland. And I was taking the summer swim lessons that kids go through at community centers like that. And then I had an ear problem, and I had to get tubes in my ear, and then I couldn't get any water in my ears. Mm-hmm. And they made these little special earplugs that I could still take a bath and take a shower. But I was so afraid of getting water in my ear that I never went back to swim lessons. And I never did. And here I am almost 30 years later, and I'm embarrassed to say that I don't know how to swim. And I love the water, and I go fishing all the time, and I'm on boats all the time. I always wear my life jacket. Anyway, fun fact.
When I was little, I didn't know how to swim either. I mean, I didn't learn how to swim until 11, 12. Around the time I moved here, because I was afraid of the water all get out. I never really liked it. But then I went whitewater rafting, I went fishing, I hanged out on the water during summer, so I started loving it more, I learned how to swim. So it was easy, it's kind of just like running underwater, but with your arms as well.
I guess, and now in my mid-30s, and I'm a little heavy set, I'm, you know, pushing 220 to 230 pounds.
Natural inflation, it's okay. You can be a little bow in the water. It's all right.
I guess I'm afraid I would sink instead of float.
Actually, no. That would help you float up, actually.
Well, maybe I will free up my schedule and come down to swim team, and you'll have to teach me how to swim someday.
All right. That would be a complete honor to teach my own teacher how to... Teach my own teacher how to swim.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
And now you know a fun fact about me that nobody else knows.
Until the story gets released.
Until this is broadcasted on KBPS on PRP.
Yeah.
Good luck tonight in the swim meet. Mm-hmm. Kick some butt, take some names, and give us a report on how it went.
I will.
Mr. Chilahosusk, thank you so much for your time, buddy.
Thank you so much for interviewing me.
And thank you for listening to KBPS on PRP.
My name is Meriwether Stewart, and lately I've been listening to a band called Tally Hall. This now disbanded band released an album in 2011 called Good and Evil, with a general theme of opposites permeating through the whole set of songs. From The Trap, which starts as a sweet love song but turns into a tale of woe, to a song simply titled And, that outright lists all sorts of opposites, this whole album is a wild ride. If you're interested in listening to some wacky alt-rock songs that make you want to dance, I cannot recommend Tally Hall's Good and Evil enough. This has been Meriwether Stewart, and you're listening to KBPS on PRP.
Love of the sun.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hello, PRP listeners. I'm James here with Josiah and Colby, and today we're going to be interviewing each other on the fun things we do. Colby, you start by asking a question.
So whenever you have free time, what do you like doing, James?
Well, I mainly play video games, but sometimes I go axe throwing, and axe throwing is actually really fun.
Yeah, my free time mainly consists of video games, a lot of this one game called Graveyard Keeper. But whenever I have the time, I actually do go axe throwing. Like, just recently for my birthday, my dad bought me, like axes for axe throwing. They're really, really nice.
Don't you also go bowling?
No.
No?
No, I don't. I haven't gone bowling in, like, 2 years.
Hmm.
Well, what do, Josiah?
I personally, like, occasionally do sword fighting. I used to do it a lot more. But then my family kind of stopped, but we do try to still do it. Sometimes we go down to the park, and we just bring out some boffer swords and we just beat the hell out of each other.
Josiah, what's sword fighting like?
It depends on the kind of sword you're using or what kind of the fighting style you're learning. My family, we learn katana. So it's definitely interesting because you got to get yourself in like a mindset of quick action, like defending and hitting each other and looking for openings in the other person. The best place probably to hit somebody is like the legs.
Yeah, I actually thought about learning how to use a katana because I actually was playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh.
And I love that game. Like, I love how very precise and smooth the feeling of a katana can be, and I've always wanted to learn how do you do that? How do you properly use a katana?
Using a katana is like it's kind of interesting because the way you're supposed to block, the way that they tell us to do it is you have to like be like a wall, right? So you have to hold your guard as hard as you can, and it's also about using your opponent's movements against them. So when they hit your sword, if they're hitting it down, you have to move your sword down and up to hit them, right?
James, if you could learn a sword, what type of sword would you learn?
Honestly, saber fighting looks awesome. It's fast-paced, and the movements look very complicated. Well, not complicated, but they just look very fast.
Probably because sabers are a very, very light weapon. I guess a kind of example of a saber would be like a scimitar. But, you know, it's faster. The smaller the weapon, the faster it is, but you don't want it to be too small.
Josiah, have you ever gone axe throwing?
I have. I didn't try it too much. I didn't do too much axe throwing, but I did do a little bit. I could do it at home because I have a hatchet and a really, really not historically accurate Dane axe, so it has like a giant beard on the front, but it's pretty fun from what I've done, and I can't do it from too far away, but yeah.
Colby, have you ever landed an underhand throw?
No, so I'm actually still kind of new to axe throwing. I probably started axe throwing probably around 2-3 years ago. And I did that for about 3-4 hours one day, and I got pretty good at it. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, probably out of like every 10 times, I missed like once or twice. But it's more now like an occasional thing, just whenever I have a little bit of time. Since now I have a job, and whenever I have free time, I really just don't want to do a whole lot of stuff anymore.
Have you tried using tomahawks for axe throwing?
No, I want to get some tomahawks.
That sounds like really interesting. Okay, here's another thing, sorry. You mentioned that you have actual throwing axes.
Yes.
Are they, like, smaller than most axes?
Not like by a noticeable margin. They just they feel a lot heavier in the front and a lot lighter in the bottom.
Okay, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Apparently, they're like classified as throwing knives.
I actually have some throwing knives too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My dad used to do knife throwing as well.
Yeah, throwing knives were something I've been wanting for a good couple of years now. And now that I finally got them, I'm excited to start giving them a shot and trying to figure out how to properly throw a knife.
Okay.
I've wanted to learn knife throwing, but I can't find any places like that in Portland.
That's why you buy stuff online.
I started going axe throwing around last year, and then I went two or three times over the summer, and then once last weekend.
You could also look up like tutorials on YouTube on how to do knife throwing, and then if you can, you could buy some throwing knives and then you could use those.
Well, the best place to find like throwing knives or throwing axes would be online. They'll ship them dull because you can't really ship like sharp objects through the mail or anything.
Of course not.
Technically a weapon.
Yeah.
But
you can sharpen it yourself.
You can always just get a whetstone and sharpen it. Or there's in Clackamas Town Center, there's a knife store that will sharpen knives, axes, whatever for you.
Depending on how it's been, if it's still got kind of an edge, you can sharpen it definitely easier. But using a whetstone, if it's been blunted, then you can't use a whetstone. You have to use like an actual grindstone.
Yeah, the throwing axes and knives that I have, they are just like they're not blunted. They're just like solid metal that just needs to be sharpened.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so like they just made like the outline of the axe and the knife, and it just needs to be sharpened.
Okay, gotcha. So probably for that, you would want to use like maybe a whetstone if it was the right grit, but probably a grindstone.
That's also another thing too when it comes to you know grit. Grit's always like the most important thing.
Yeah, I will say that sharper weapons are really only supposed to be for like knives, like kitchen appliances. But usually with weapons like swords, you don't want them to be sharp, but instead slightly dull, because the action is not cutting into somebody that'll do the damage, but instead they're like pulling.
Yeah. James, I'm just curious, would you be interested in learning how to knife throw once I get my throwing knives back from my dad's?
Of course. It sounds awesome. That's the one thing I need to learn how to do. I've already learned archery and axe throwing.
Archery is actually another thing that I really want to learn. When I lived on a farm, we liked to make our own stuff and we made our own bows.
Yes.
Nothing like special. It didn't work that well. I mean, I was like 6 when I made it.
Yeah.
But you know, I could launch like an arrow a couple of feet.
My my brother, he likes to make his own bows. I'm not sure if he makes his own arrows, but I know he makes his own bows. And right now he's been making long bows. And he has figured out that he watched videos on people and their like bow fighting styles or their bow archery skills, and what he'll notice is that with most common bows today, people pull the string to the cheek, but he uses a more medieval style, which is pulling it all the way to the ear, and instead of aiming for accuracy, he just lets it fly and feels out if it's going to hit or not.
Well, that's the thing about archery too. There's many, many different styles, and there's so many different ways to properly do it depending on where you come from. The style, like many cultures have many different ways of holding their bow and shooting their bow.
But the way we do it today in most like competitions is people, they don't feel it out anymore. Instead, they just pull to the cheek and let go, and like they have to aim really well. But in older, like, medieval styles, in fact, actually, this is a different thing, the draw strength. Modern-day bows, you can only pull 180-pound draw strength, right? That's how far you pull the string and how much weight it is. Yeah, whatever. But the medieval draw string capacity was, like, 220 pounds on average. But the strongest archer, like longbow archery competition guy we have today, can only pull 220. Back then, that would be the average, and you could pull.
James, How do you feel about archery? Would you be interested in learning archery?
Well, yeah, archery is pretty cool, and it'd be great to know how to shoot a bow and arrow.
I mean, really, any hobby that gets you, like, outdoors or even slightly active is always just good for you.
Yeah.
Like, axe throwing, you feel good axe throwing. Like, especially once you get in the groove of it, the simple just step and throw.
Yeah.
And how consistent that is. It feels good, especially, like I said, once you get the hang of it, it feels just smooth and great time. I can do that for hours and hours and hours and not get bored.
There's also, yeah, actually, like you were saying, any hobby that really gets you outdoors, that works. Like you could just go for walks or hikes. Hikes are the really big one that a lot of people do.
Like, I actually used to be really into ATVs.
What are those again?
I forget. Quads, four-wheelers.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you want to call them. I just call them quads. But I used to be really, really into them. I actually have my own. It was a clutch. And that thing is so much fun. I actually just recently went back down to my dad's and was riding it. And now this thing is old. It has a lot of things that need to be fixed. The back right tire, like, is ready to just, like, break off. But getting back onto that thing and trying to learn how to ride clutch was a lot of fun.
What do you think, James?
Oh, yeah. It seems awesome. But the thing is, I don't know if I'd be able to go that fast on one.
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you. It's not that awful. Riding quads can be pretty easy. Like, cause it's like it comes with anything. Once you get the hang of it, it doesn't really matter the speed. As long as you're comfortable, you can easily control your vehicle.
Oh, well, that's great. We just told you some fun things you can try doing that we do. This is James Josiah Colby signing off.
Have a good day.
What's up, everybody? This is Redding here with Kayvon and Oscar for Portland Radio Project, and today we're going to be talking voting in games. So, Kayvon, what are your thoughts first off?
I just want to start off by just saying it's kind of weird. I don't really like fan voting that much because why does Derrick Rose have more votes than Darius Garland? Sure, Derrick Rose was a great player back in his prime, back in his day, but now he's getting a little bit older. You know, he's definitely not better than Darius Garland, in my opinion. And also, why is Kevon Looney getting more votes than people like Kawhi Leonard? No offense to Kevon Looney, but he's not Kawhi Leonard. What about you, Oscar?
My thoughts on the All-Star voting? It's got good names, you know. There's some questionable voting picks and different positions in the list, like Westbrook. I mean, he's good, but there's still some players that are, I feel like, deserve to be on the spot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's guys that could easily be replaced by guys who have had better seasons so far. I mean, Nicholas Claxton, he's been playing okay as a center, but I mean, there's better guys out there. LeBron James, of course, leading the West in votes by a million votes. I don't think you could be surprised by that. Is anybody surprised by that?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah, not at all. It's very deserving.
Yeah. I mean, 38 years old and averaging 38 points per game is insane. Oscar, who's your favorite guy on the list?
I'll have to say Kyrie Irving.
Okay. Kayvon, what about you? What you doing on both conferences? What are you saying?
Both conferences for me. I'm surprised Damian Lillard isn't above Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook is above Dame, which is totally wrong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at the stats as well, I mean, Westbrook just wants triple-doubles, nothing else. But Dame actually, like, gets out there and gives points, clutches up, does what he can do for the team. But, I mean, it's the fans, so, I mean, I can't really say nothing on that, but I feel like Dame is on the West is good, and Kyrie in the East.
What are your thoughts, Kayvon?
For the front court in the West, I'm happy to see Lauri Markkanen for the Utah Jazz actually getting a little bit of love. He's actually really been balling out this season, you know. First year in Utah, he's really been showing that he can be that guy. Also, for the guards in the West, I'm happy that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, that's my favorite player, you know. He's been getting a lot of love. He's been balling out lately, even though their team isn't that great. But he's been playing really well. And as for the East, I would say for the front court, I would say Paolo Banchero, you know. Even as a rookie, he's been playing really well this season, in my opinion. And, you know, the first rookie in quite some time to
I think 2007 or something like that, which is crazy.
Yeah, wow. First in a while to be on an all-star list as a freshman. And for the guards, you know, I'm really happy to see Darius Garland and Tyrese Haliburton getting some love. You know, Tyrese is averaging like 19-9 or something like that. I don't know the exact stats, but he's been hooping. You know, Darius Garland's also one of my favorite players as well. I see a lot of Kyrie Irving in his game. So, you know, I'm really happy to see him on the list. I think he should be at least higher than LaMelo Ball. Him and Tyrese both should be higher than LaMelo Ball. But besides that, I'm happy that they're on the list. So,
yeah. So for those who don't know, you pick the front court, which is forwards to centers, and then you pick the guards. In the West, on the front court, you got LeBron, Jokic, Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, Andrew Wiggins, Paul George, Lauri Markkanen, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, and Kawhi Leonard. For the guards in the West, you have Curry, Doncic, Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Thompson, Westbrook, Lillard, Booker, Reeves, and Fox. I mean, out of all those guys, like you guys said, there's the standouts for sure. I mean, you got LeBron. Big surprises. Shai's not really surprised, but he's been getting no love. So
yeah,
for him
definitely
to get love is great. De'Aaron Fox, I mean, talk about a Sacramento team that used to
facts.
Be
yeah, yep.
Facts. And now they're fighting for playoff position, so that's great for them. And then the East, you got the front court of Durant, Antetokounmpo, I mean, also leading in votes there. Tatum, Embiid, Butler, Siakam, Kuzma, Banchero, Claxton, and Randall. Like you said, Banchero definitely a standout. I'll even give Claxton some props. He's been balling out this season, so we can give him some props. I know you like that one, Oscar.
Yep, I voted all three of those guys.
Yep. And then the guards, you got Kyrie, Oscar's favorite player.
Yes, sir.
Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Trae Young, DeMar DeRozan, LaMelo Ball, Tyrese Haliburton, Derrick Rose, and, of course, Darius Garland, who you said is snubbed under Derrick Rose, which is crazy. Yeah, I mean, great players. Could there be other players on there? For sure. I mean, there's a lot of players in the NBA, so. But I think this is a reasonable list, other than about four guys, I would say.
Yeah. No disrespect to them, though.
Exactly. You guys got anything else?
Keep voting for Kyrie and Nick. All the Brooklyn players.
There you get it. Keep voting for Kyrie, guys. All right.
Joe Anderson here, the host of KPPS on PRP. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to play us a few songs while we're at it. The theme will be cities, and starting us off, we've got Scott McKenzie, San Francisco.
If you're going to San Francisco, oh,
Francisco.
Mackenzie with San Francisco. Joe Anderson here, the host of KBPS on PRP. Thanks for tuning in, just playing us a few songs around the theme of cities. Up next, we've got George Ezra, Budapest.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focused EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. And give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. Oh, to you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Oh, to you, ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My friends and family, they don't understand. They fear they'll lose so much if you take my hand. But for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo. You, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.
Budapest by George Ezra. Joe Anderson here, the host of KBPS on PRP. Thanks for tuning in, just playing us a few songs around the theme of cities, and finishing us off for our third and final song. It's Billy Joel with Vienna.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. But you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. You can't be everything you wanna be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight. Too bad, but it's the life you lead. You're so ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you could see when you're wrong, you know you can't always see when you're right, you're right. You got your passion, you got your pride, but don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you crazy child, and take the phone off the hook and disappear for a while. It's alright, you can't afford to lose a day or two. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? And you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, why don't you realize Vienna waits for you? When will you realize Vienna waits for you?
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
Jasmine from KBPS, and today I'm interviewing my teacher, Mr. Jacob.
Hey, Jasmine. Great to be with you.
I am going to ask him at least several questions, so let's get started. How was it transitioning from a radio job to teaching high schoolers?
You know, Jasmine, that's a great question. Both jobs are challenging, but in completely different ways. The good news is what I'm teaching is what I did as work. So a lot of it kind of carries right over because I get to teach students what I was doing professionally. And so I would say, actually, being a teacher in some ways is harder because as a reporter or as an audio radio person, producer, I could just go in, I already knew what I needed to do. I could do it bada bing, bada boom, and it was done. But as a teacher, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes when I'm working with a student or working with a class, sometimes somebody misses something, or sometimes somebody's absent, or sometimes somebody's maybe chatting in the back and doesn't hear it. And so I think maybe everybody heard it or everybody got the instructions, but that's not the case all the time. So it is challenging in a little bit of a different way, but I would say that I love being a teacher 1,000 times more than I ever loved being a news reporter.
All right. And what about being a bowling teacher? Do you enjoy doing that club activity with all the students who go there?
Jasmine, there's nothing I love more than bowling and being our bowling club person. I started bowling when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and it was because one of my friends invited me to their birthday party, and they went bowling at the birthday party,
And I went home. I went, oh my goodness, mom, dad, the bowling was the greatest thing of my life. Please take me bowling again. And they took me bowling, and then I got signed up on the youth league Saturday mornings. I've been bowling ever since. And it was bowling that got me into Benson High School. I was supposed to go to Marshall High School. Marshall High School was my neighborhood school. But my friend, who I bowled with, recruited me to go to Benson so we could bowl together on the bowling team. We went to the district tournament. We took third place. We qualified for state. We went to state. And then at the state championship, we missed the final cut by 7 pins. And we ended up in the consolation tournament bracket. And we took first place in the consolation bracket. But bowling is forever a part of who I am, part of my soul. And that's one thing I'll never give up. I will always forever be a bowler.
How did you get this job? Like, did somebody recommend you about that you wanted to become a teacher, or did somebody reach out to you offering this?
Great question, Jasmine. I got this job out of my own actions. You know what I did? I went back to visit my old radio teacher at the last tech show. I was working at KXL, and I was still working that morning shift where I was getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I would go home by noon, and I was in bed by 5 o'clock. And it was the big tech show night at Benson High School. This was 2019. So about 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. And I what happened was I had to work that day. I went home from work and I passed out pretty early in the day. I probably fell asleep on the couch around noon or 1 o'clock. I was really tired. And I had a good, like, I want to say 4 or 5 hour long power nap. And I woke up and I just had this good burst of energy and I felt really good. And I went, and I remembered it was tech show. And I said, I've got to go down and see Steve Naganuma. I haven't seen Mr. Steve in a long time. And, you know, and I was thinking, gosh, I don't know how many more years he's going to be the teacher at Benson at KBPS. So I figured, you know, I had the moment. It was happening that right then. And I felt good. And so I threw on a little jacket and I ran down to KBPS. And walked into tech show and saw some of my old colleagues and some old friends, and Mr. Steve, one of my old KBPS teachers, was there. And that was the first time I ever met Principal Curtis Wilson. And I got to meet everybody, say hi to everybody. And then I had nothing going on that night, so I just hung out there the whole night. And then there was a moment near the end of the evening when everybody had already left. And it was just me and Steve there kind of talking. And, you know, Steve, he just said at that moment, he said, you know, Jacob, have you ever thought about being the teacher of this program? And my jaw hit the floor. Really? Like, I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. And no, Steve, I've never thought about being the teacher of this program. Well, would you want to? Oh, my God, yes, please. What a dream come true. And he goes, okay, well, I want to let you know that I'm getting ready to retire in about a year or two from now. So let's start talking about this and I will help you. And it was Steve Naganuma who got me that job because I went to see him at tech show and was a really good student all those years I was in the program. And I went to college, a community college in Mount Hood, and I got my 2-year degree in broadcasting, and I got jobs at different radio stations in town. And then I went to work, and I worked here in Portland, and I worked in Washington, D.C., and I did a couple different jobs. So I acquired all of the experience I needed throughout my professional career and allowed me the opportunity to now have the greatest job I've ever had in my life.
All right.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you so much for the amazing interview. And you have the power to do this yourself. You have the power to go to college, get your degree, work hard, achieve your success, go out into the world, get your experience at your jobs, and let that lead you to where you find your purpose in life, too. You can do it. I know you can.
All right. Thank you for letting me interview you.
Hello, this is Jonathan from KBPS Portland. Over the winter break, I produced a house track called Chemistry. It's out on all platforms. Enjoy and thanks for listening.
The temperature's rising, take me for a ride. Oh, it's so amazing, we got the chemistry. Regular highs when you give me ecstasy. My heart went boom, da-da-da-da-da. My heart went boom, da-da-da-da-da. My heart went boom, da-da-da-da-da. My heart went boom, da-da-da-da-da.
This is AM 1450 KBPS Portland, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. My name is Joe Anderson, KBPS Chief of Production and Benson High School Student Body President. This year, I'm working with the Benson Leadership Class and Communicare Oregon to raise funds for nonprofits who provide essential services to immigrant and refugee families here in the Portland area. Your donation is being matched 10 times, and we only need a small amount to make a big impact. More information, including our mission statement and information on donating, can be found on the KBPS website, kbps.am. Again, that's kbps.am. If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry, streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.